I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If this were coming off of last year, then I could see you.
Here he is.
Sergeant Slaughter!
Look at this guy!
I got my Hogan shirt on.
Hogan!
How are you, Sergeant?
How you doing, sir?
Look at Sergeant Slaughter live in person.
What's going on, buddy?
You don't get that whip or whatever it was it used to have, right? What's that stick called?
Where is the little the whip thing that you used to knock all the jobbers around with? Where's that thing?
Swagger stick?
Yeah.
Hoff, can you build this chair up here?
To the airport security.
A little low there.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to be
Sergeant
careful.
Sergeant Slaughter, the legend.
Yes, sir.
Let's let Hoff right. pick you up a little bit, Sarge. That chair seems
Sounds
a little
like
low.
Sounds like you guys had a busy morning talking about the Yankees and the Mets, sir.
You a sports fan?
I used to be a baseball player. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
I still have the world record of unassisted putouts in one game.
Really? What
one
level
inning,
was
in one inning.
Oh, you tell me.
I was a catcher.
Yeah, okay. How many?
I was a catcher.
And I understand that. How many? Well, it was three. I mean, the record's tied by a gazillion people, right?
I don't think anybody's ever...
Wait, three putouts?
I don't think a catcher's ever put three guys out at first base, has he?
Oh, I see. What level was this? Is there documents?
This was Little League.
Sarge.
Gotcha. You used to call me John Deere Slaughter.
Is that right? But, Sarge, that's like me saying I did a Jimmy Snuka off my parents' dresser when I won the championship when I was 9 years old. I mean,
well,
there's levels of accomplishment here.
We're only eight guys, so I had to play first base and catch. I would beat the guys to first base.
Oh, man. Awesome.
WrestleMania, of course, coming up this weekend, which is why we wanted to have Sarge in-house here. You're on your way to Philadelphia to go down there and make some appearances or what?
I am. We're going to, of course, hopefully get over to WrestleMania Hall of Fame and see all that.
You got stuff in there?
Take a place. Oh, I'm going to try if they'll let me in.
What do you mean if they'll let you in?
Well, I was a little upset they didn't invite me to Undertaker's Hall of Fame a few years ago in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And because I kind of found the guy in a box of tapes and took it to Mr. McMahon.
Uh-huh.
Like a football. Under my arm, I ran to his office, and he said, "Sarge, if you think he's good enough to come in for a tryout, bring him in."
And
Mark Calloway, yeah.
They
so
forgot
I thought,
about
that? Gets in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I should have at least been in the front row.
I agree. It's like you're the baseball scout who scouts Derek Jeter. Yeah. Get him in Cooperstown.
Yeah.
Plus, you're a Hall of Famer yourself, as we can see by the ring. So they don't invite back all the Hall – I mean, I know there's a ton of them, but they don't invite back all the old Hall of Famers to the current – Hall of Fame ceremony?
I think they should. Yeah. I haven't been invited the last 3 years. I don't know why, but.
Well, we got to rectify that.
Maybe I take too big of a space.
I got to tell you.
Sergeant Slaughter has too big of a space.
What am I hearing right now? This man needs to be there. McMahon, I want to forget about McMahon. WWE, get your act together and get this man front row.
What's the deal?
So, Sarge.
Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah. Sarge.
I'm going to talk to my attorney, Ed Nussbaum, down there in Westport, Connecticut. He's dealt with them many times.
This is going to get ugly, is what you said.
Yeah, right. A few go-arounds with Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't at this point?
Mr.
Slaughter. So. Well, so Sarge, listen, your journey's amazing.
First big boot of the day.
Yes. We're going to bounce around a little bit. Sergeant Slaughter's in the studio, and he's got the whole gimmick. He's all decked out. He looks great. He looked really good. 75 years of age, you look healthy, strong as an ox, fit still. God bless you. To me, you are one of the truly, I'm not just saying this because you're here, you're one of the most unique WWE characters, because you never needed a belt, even though you had it for a little bit, to validate, to get a pop from the crowd. Like, you were an amazing heel. I mean, people loathed you. We hated you, and I hated you.
Yeah.
And then you were an amazing, iconic, inspirational figure, all without a belt. Not many guys can do that, Sarge.
No, it takes a special talent to do what I did without a championship. As you stated, I didn't need a championship. My character was what drew the crowds in. But there were, you know, wrestlers that needed a championship. You know, Hulk Hogan could talk the chrome off a bumper, but he didn't know a wristwatch from a headlock.
Yeah,
so he'd have to lead him around the match. But as long as he had the title, that helped him out a lot, you know. But, it's just one of those things where you I don't know where I got it from, probably watching wrestling when I was a young kid on my dad's knee. You know, he loved wrestling, and I watched it, and I always dreamed about being a wrestler. Always thought I'd be a professional football player, but, you know, my parents were farmers and didn't, you know, put any money away for me to go to college or my sister. And so, I was a most valuable player of my high school football team 2 years in a row, and I was a tackle. I mean, we
offense or defense?
Both.
Oh, wow. You know, two-way Sarge going both ways. Look
at him. We never left. Once our school song played and the national anthem played, we never get off the field.
That's awesome. 20 kids on the team, probably.
Every second of the game. And it just was in my veins.
Gotcha.
I just watched so much sports and that. But one day a friend of mine was a sports writer, Bill Tweet, and he invited me to a training camp that they were going to film, and Vern Gagne was putting on.
Oh, Vern Gagne. Oh, he'd kick the crap out of you guys, Vern.
Yeah, right down the road from
dungeon.
Where I lived. I mean, so I said, yeah, let's go.
Wow.
BT and Sal on the Fan in studio here with Sergeant Slaughter. So much so, we just watched the biography, and I'll admit, so I'm a little bit younger than BT, and I don't remember your original run in the, you know, Vince McMahon Sr. WWF at the time. I remember the build-up to WrestleMania 7, you beating the Warrior, getting his belt, and then losing to Hogan in WrestleMania 7, and obviously becoming a heel, a vicious heel at the time of the Gulf War and all those different things. But you were such a person devoted to your craft and wrestling to a point where it hurt your personal life.
I mean,
big time.
Yeah, got divorced over it.
Yeah.
My wife finally had enough of it. She didn't, the day I told her I was going to go through a pro wrestling training camp, she was just going south. She didn't like that at all. Not only did she know it was probably going to take me away from her and the family a little bit, we didn't have a family yet, but it also, you know, injuries and things like that.
But that was the beginning. She stuck with you a long time, but then the Gulf War stuff maybe pushed it over the edge. I know your kids and school and all that stuff, and you did what you had to do because you love the business.
Yeah, the Gulf War finally, I think she finally had it with that, and I came home one day, and she said, we need to talk, and I said, what is it? She said, I'm not happy. You know, what do you mean you're not happy? Well, you know, I'm here all by myself. I didn't sign up for that.
Mm.
I said, well, you need to go be happy, so told her to take the 911 wide body whale tail Porsche down to North Carolina, where we used to live. We were living up in Connecticut. And I said, go down there, visit your friends. Maybe somebody can get you a job down there. Or, you know, she was a very intelligent woman, still is. And so she came back and she said, what a ride. She said, you don't know how many times I had to speed up to get away from people, but she said, I think I'm going to take your advice and do it on North Carolina.
Wow. Well, you know, did you ever get the car back, by the way? It sounds like a pretty nice show.
We had to do that in the divorce.
I got Jeez. You know, Sarge, one of the things, and I love these docs. I can't get enough of this stuff. A&E, Vice, I've watched every single one, even guys I don't really know a ton about. I've really jumped in, and I've learned a lot, and I love it. I used to love wrestling. Not as much now, but I love it at my core, the old school stuff more. And one thing we know, most of these guys had pill issues, booze issues, real heavy drug stuff, a lot of issues. You also used to wrestle almost every night. So I understand popping a few pills to be able to get in the ring and perform and do your job. But, and if I'm wrong, tell me, you seem to be one of the few guys who avoided steroids. You were always big and strong, but never yoked, like just naturally thick. Right. And it doesn't seem like you stumbled on the drugs and the booze. How did you avoid that stuff?
Never dabbled in it.
How?
Never even knew what a steroid was. I didn't know how they put it in their bodies. I knew that they were doing it. I grew up on Wheaties, man, I was a breakfast of champion guy. And my mother started me on it when I was an infant in the crib.
Yeah. You know?
And she would get me up, put me in the high chair, give me all these different things. And one night she put a bowl of Wheaties in front of me, and I wouldn't eat it until she put it in front of me again. And it got all soggy. And I ate the whole bowl. She said I slept till 10 o'clock the next morning. So she said I got smart, and I just got a bowl of Wheaties, put it in the refrigerator. And when you started fussing, I just put you in. She said, then I even got smarter. I just gave it to you before you went to bed.
Yeah.
So I still eat them before I go to bed.
It's better than what a lot of parents used to do back then. They used to put like whiskey on the gums of the kids when they were teething. Your mom just gave you Wheaties and said, go leave me alone for a few hours.
You know, my parents, neither one of them drank.
Okay.
And, my mother smoked, my father smoked, but I never smoked a cigarette. I was just one of those guys that didn't want to get caught, not be able to compete in my athletic games and things like that by being caught smoking or drinking.
Gotcha. It's awesome. Like
so I just kind of stayed away from the guys that did that. And when I got into professional wrestling, I just basically was on my own. I had a couple of guys, Roddy Piper, I traveled with.
Wait, so you hung with Piper and you didn't get mixed up? That's all he was doing, Roddy Piper.
Piper told everybody, don't even get close to Slaughter. He doesn't do anything. Don't even offer it to him.
Wow.
That's it, you know. And so it was just kind of the warning that Piper gave to everybody.
He was a real tough guy. Like, Roddy was actually tough.
Toughest guy I ever knew, pound for pound. He could throw so many fists in so many seconds. It was incredible. Oh, I brought you something.
What do we got here?
What do you got there, Sarge?
I got you something.
Gifts?
BT and Sal on the Fan in studio with Sergeant Slaughter on his way down.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Look at that. Yeah. Nice Sergeant Slaughter shirt.
Wait, I only see one of them, though, and it looks like he's handing it to Sal.
No, he wants to replace my Hulk Hogan shirt, of course, there. Thank you, Sarge. Might fit you, BT.
You've got one coming.
I do. So I do.
We only had one in the car.
I had a merch. Hey, that's a good thing, right? Selling all that merch. Yeah. I want to ask
it's
you
your
about.
Your birthday?
Was that?
It's your birthday.
No, it is not. I said you're out of merch.
Oh,
that's a good thing, right? Selling all
it's
that
my
merch.
Birthday. Well,
it's all packed in Philadelphia.
So we were talking about this before. You beat the Ultimate Warrior Royal Rumble, winning your first WWE Championship, right?
Right.
Purple strap.
Right.
Where is that belt?
As far as I know, I have it, but somebody else is claiming that they have it. So I don't know how they got it from me, but.
It could be replicas made, but you're saying you still have the original. And then during your run, I don't know, did you change it to blue and then back to black before you lost it to Hogan?
No. When I won it, it was purple. And that night we had to do promos because Hogan won the Royal Rumble and he was my opponent for WrestleMania. Tell you the truth, I wasn't really supposed to win that match in
the Royal Rumble?
But the Macho Man came out and nailed the Warrior with a scepter.
Right.
And I had no idea. I heard a crash, and I looked, and I see Macho Man running off, and Warrior's laying on the second rope. So I thought, well, I'll pull him in, and we'll continue the match. I couldn't get away. He was knocked out. So I got him into the ring, and I looked. He had glass in his forehead.
What?
And he was completely knocked out. So I said, well, I'll give him an elbow. If I can revive him.
Oh, that's nice of you.
So I went to lift up his leg and I couldn't hardly lift his dead weight.
You could
and
see
by
it
that,
if you want.
By that time, the referee counted three. And
so they just changed plans on the fly like that?
Yeah, that's how it all happened. So that night we had to redo all the promos because now it's Hogan and I going to WrestleMania.
So Macho just deviated from the script because he didn't like Ultimate Warrior, and did he just kind of miss, or did he try to put him out with that thing?
Well, he broke his hand and his wrist about 3 months before that. Mm-hmm. That's why I was wrestling the Warrior. And so Vince McMahon called me, and we wanted to do the Sergeant Slaughter return real slow and easy.
Yeah.
So he called me one night about 3 o'clock. He says, Sergeant, we got a change in plans. You're going to have to wrestle the Warrior because he broke Macho's hand last night. So I'm going to put you in all of his matches, but they're already in cage matches and death matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
All kinds of different matches. So he said, I hope you're in shape. And I said, wow. I'll get in shape.
Oh, and we no doubt that you would be and that you did. So, you know, the Cobra Clutch. The Cobra Clutch to me is it's an all-time move. I mean, the DDT with Roberts, your Cobra Clutch, the Sheik with the Cowboy, just some indelible moves. My snooker off the top rope.
Right.
So Sal didn't see it until this morning. To me, one of the most, but it's a subtle thing, but it was brilliant, dude.
Yeah.
When, I forget what jobber it was, you had the Cobra Clutch challenge.
Right.
And Patterson comes in. Like, the jobber's like, I'm done. Yeah. He comes in. You guys wound up knocking the crap out of each other at the Garden later on. But you held on to the Cobra Clutch. And now, Pat Patterson was a good wrestler. Oh, he was fast. Good. He was strong. He was nimble. Yeah. He knew how to wrestle. Yeah. And he kicked off the turnbuckle, did flips, did all these crazy. And you never let go.
Right.
If you let go, it kind of looks weak.
Yeah.
That set everything
up.
Plus, it was $5,000. That set everything up. I mean, you know you have to hold on. There's got to be real pressure to know, I've got to finish the job here and make sure this looks good.
Right.
That was tough.
Yes. I was just thrilled that I was allowed to run my programs myself.
Okay.
Nobody else got involved in my work. And so most everything we did was element of surprise. I didn't know Pat was going to, I knew he was going to interview me, but I didn't, you know, when I pushed him and shoved him, I didn't know he was going to jump in.
You didn't know that?
No.
That's awesome.
That was back when we ad-libbed everything.
Yeah.
You know? It's all scripted now, thanks to PM Punk. Is that it?
CM Punk.
Yeah, because he started the F-bomb, Vince said, that's it. No more.
Yeah.
No more ad-libs. We got to script it. So, but anyway, those were the things that we did. And little did I know we were going to end up in this match. We went all over the country wrestling matches and never could get a finish, you know, where it weren't a winner.
Yeah, countdowns,
so
disqualification.
Mr. McMahon Sr. came to me and said, we're going to have a match that's never been done before. It's called the Alley Fight. I said, well, what's the Alley Fight? He said, well, you can wear whatever you want to wear in the ring. You can bring anything you want to bring in the ring. There's no rules, and there's not going to be a referee. And I said, no referee. He said, no, this time we're going to get a winner or a loser, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't think much of it. Till that night at the Garden, I'm getting ready to get dressed and everything, and I said to Ernie Roth, who was my manager.
Oh, the Grand Wizard.
The general, yeah.
The Wizard, yeah.
And I said, Ernie, can I ask you a question? Yes, yeah, sir. How does this match end? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, there's no referee who stops the match.
Uh-huh.
He goes, I don't know. I don't know if Mr. McMahon thought about that. So he says, I'll be right back. So I'm getting my combat boots on and everything. And he comes back and he just winks at me. He says, don't worry, everything's taken care of. I said, okay. So we went out and had this battle. And I hit that top of that ring post. And I don't know if I told you guys yesterday on the radio, but my wife was on her way to New York.
You did.
All that night.
Yeah.
I was bleeding to death.
And
I didn't know what else to do. And I just kept fighting. I kept coming in, and that's what made Sergeant Slaughter what he is today.
It was crazy.
Because I never stopped. I was heading back into the ring to battle some more, and there's a towel comes flying in.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at it, and then it fell off, and I said, oh, good. And then it came back in again, and I went, what the hell are they doing? Who threw that? I'm not finished. And so people were kind of like, he wasn't done. Yeah.
After that, it was so gory, and Sergeant Slaughter's with us here. WrestleMania 40 coming up this weekend in Philadelphia. This is great. Love having you in. After a match like that, you go back to the wrestling room, to the dressing room. Do you and Patterson hug it? Like, it was so gory and so bloody and so dangerous. Do you guys kind of celebrate, or you just need time to see the doctors?
He sent one of his friends over to, I think it was the referee, to see if I was okay.
Yeah.
Because he said, man, you're bleeding. I mean, we've talked about it. We talked about it many times after that. And we became very close friends.
Gotcha.
It was just one of those things that happened, you know. And Shawn Michaels tells me that in Japan, they all look at that match and try to tell and teach their trainees that this is how you tell a story in a professional wrestling ring.
Wow.
These are two artists that went into a ring in that canvas and painted a picture for everybody. Without a referee, you know, I don't think it's ever been done since. And I don't know if that's out of respect that they don't want to have another one. But there's never been one that I've ever seen with a match without a referee. But it was just one of those good things.
I got to check that out myself. Mm. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan In Studio with Sergeant Slaughter. We'll take a quick break, Sarge. Come back. Have more on the other side.
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, back on the Fan, back in studio with Sergeant Slaughter ahead of WrestleMania coming up this weekend. Sarge, you still watch the current product or no?
You're more? Yeah. Oh, really? I stopped watching it for a little while. They wanted me to come back and be kind of a trainer and the drill instructor for Lacey Evans.
Okay.
But the contract had so many, things that I couldn't.
Right,
I could sign it. The money was great, but it had too many things that they would own me the rest of my life. Mm. And with G.I. Joe, I couldn't do that.
You had that happen earlier in your career as well, right?
Yeah,
You made, learning about that during the biography, you clearly made the right decision. Right. I'm sure it's impossible to leave the WWF at the time, but to go with the G.I. Joe stuff, which you made a fortune off of.
Yeah, it was a tough time because I had no way to get exposure, television exposure, until the AWA called and said, hey, if you want to be on TV, come on over. We'll let you. I said, well, you let me promote G.I. Joe? Yeah, okay, I'll be right there. You know?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God. It's. Yeah. I got a million things I want to run by Sarge. Tell him, as soon as we went to break, I hit him with like five things. Piper story, a snooker story, adorable Adrian Dante, everything. Yeah. I love this stuff.
Well, and also Andre, you wrestled Andre the Giant, and you said you were friendly with Andre the Giant.
Yeah. You had to be friendly with him. You didn't want to be mad at you.
And the first time tell everybody what you told Sal and me the first time you wrestled him, what Andre said to Vince McMahon Sr.
He told Vince McMahon Sr., I want to be married to him. And I didn't know what that meant. Yeah. It's kind of
Andre making his move for you, Sarge.
What's going to happen to me? And he said, no, that means that you're going to be wrestling him every night. He wants to wrestle you every night.
Yep.
There was a time when I was in New Jersey one time.
And
Andre was coming back from Japan and his plane was late. And the promoter skipped. He'll be here. And we were the main event, of course. The place is sold out to the gills. And finally, the promoter said, why don't you go out and do a promo? And when Andre gets here, I'll send you out. I'll send him out and the referee out. And that way you'll know he's here. And I said, okay. So I'm doing this half-hour promo in the ring. And finally, people are starting to laugh because I'm starting to be a comedian out there, you know. So finally, here comes the referee. I said, Jesus, thank God you're here. He said, well, you're in for a real treat. And I said, why? He said, Andre's blitzed.
Oh,
he's been wasted. Drinking wine and on that airplane from Japan, and he can't hardly walk. And I said, "Oh boy!"
With
those, come with it. He had the big afro.
He was scary looking when I was a kid. Andre scared me. Kamala scared me, and the missing links. Those three guys. Like these are all these guys scare me.
Yeah.
All right, so the. To me, the promo is really what separates. The art in the ring, Steamboat, amazing tactician, not great on a mic, and obviously, so you have a ceiling. If you can work the mic like a Piper, like a Rock, like a Shawn Michaels, it's a different level of energy.
Yeah.
And I'm curious who you perceive to be, Total Sergeant Slaughter, of course, WrestleMania 40 coming up this weekend. Who do you think is the greatest mic man in the history of the business, and why?
I'd have to say Roddy Piper because he did so much research on it. And he would, he had notebooks and notebooks. And he would, while I would be driving, he'd be thinking of lines to say. And his delivery was so good. Another guy, of course, is Paul Heyman. I think he's probably one of the greatest mic men that's ever been in.
And he's getting inducted this weekend to the Hall of Fame, Heyman. It's about time. I thought he was in. I thought he would be in by now.
Yeah. No, but I guess because he's still current.
Yeah,
right.
I
hear
you. I don't want to.
But we Piper's like number one for you. He's the best Piper's best
one
interview.
Of the better ones, of course.
What about Hulk? I mean, think about the tickets Hulk sold.
Hulk was great too.
Did you get along with Hogan?
The Warrior did some out of
he was terrible.
Out of
he was the worst.
Out of the fantasy world,
right? But it worked. Almost,
but he very seldom messed up. You know,
all you did
nobody
was grunt.
Knew what he was saying.
Well, when you grunt and groan, I think any of us could do that. I mean, how hard is it? We'd have to remember a script.
Right. Did you get along with Hogan, Sarge?
We were business, you know, business about it. We didn't communicate other than in getting into the ring against each other.
Was like a type jealousy thing there, or
well,
because your
one
heat
time,
at the Gulf War thing, your heat was great for him.
Yeah,
as WrestleMania 7. Go ahead.
One time when I went up against the Iron Sheik, I got so popular that Vince McMahon sat us both down and he said, "Hulk, you know, Sarge is more popular than you are. So I want to do two cards a night." He said, "Your popularity and Sarge's popularity, I'm going to sell out two shows a night." So I got the tag team champions, and Hulk got the Intercontinental, and whoever else was hot. And so that's the way it was. I don't know if there was some type of a jealousy there or not, but as far as I know, when he was on my bio, he put me over pretty strong and told people that I was, you know, over more than anybody.
Yeah.
He did. He gave you definite respect.
By the way, it's a must-watch BT A&E biography, WWE Legends, Season 4, Episode 2, featuring Sergeant Slaughter. Sarge will also be at WrestleCon down at the Sheraton, downtown Philly, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this WrestleMania week.
That's got to be a blast, seeing all the old guys. Like, do some of the old-timers, like, I know a lot of no longer with us, unfortunately, but, like, does somebody like Don Morocco, does he show up to these Magnificent Morocco, like, going back, they still pop up for these?
Performer.
He was good. He was good on the mic, and he was strong as a bull. He was tough.
When I first started training with Vern Gagne, he was already in the business. And he was like an Adonis. I mean,
yeah, he was pretty shredded.
Him and I said, "Man, I'd like to be him." You know?
Beach bum. Beach bum.
Great.
Oh man.
But then he didn't like being the hero. He wanted to be the villain.
He played that well.
That
it fit
was
him.
His nature. You know, he just that's the way he was. But great guy, wonderful man, worker, great on the mic, you know. And
intense.
There's so many of them, you know. And, you know, I watched my bio and got a lot of compliments on it. And the one thing that was tough is there were so many things that we talked about. I did hours and hours and hours. My family did hours and hours of promos for it. But 75-plus, you know, years, you know, to put into a two-hour show.
It's tough.
They had to cut so many things out. So I guess I'm going to have to write a book and maybe do a volume because I couldn't put it all in one book.
People would buy it. I'm sorry, Sal. Yeah, people would buy it. You know they would.
Yeah. It was terrific, though. As somebody, like I said, a younger fan, I didn't know your whole career and really know you from the WrestleMania 7 stuff. Right. I was never like a huge Sergeant Slaughter fan. I learned a lot about you, not just in the ring in your career, but also your personal life. I think it was fascinating. Must watch on A&E. Yeah. Probably one of the best ones I've seen. I've seen a lot of them.
I've seen them all.
Yeah, for me, it was one of the best ones that I've seen.
I just wanted to let everybody know that Sergeant Slaughter is a character.
Yeah.
Bob Remus is me. You know, I never, like, I'm here as Sergeant Slaughter today.
Right.
Anytime I do a promo anywhere, I'm Sergeant Slaughter. That's who you want to hear, who you
want
to talk about. So I've never, ever, you know, gone out of character. You know, I wear the emblems. I wore this. It didn't get on the bio, but my uncle gave me this insignia. It was his. And he served in the Korean War, and he stepped on a landmine and blew off his leg and one of his eyes and some of his personals. But he fathered five children and was a football coach and a history coach. And he said, here, Bobby, wear this in your hat. So I took the Marine Corps emblem out and put that in there as a remembrance to him, as an honor to him.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, you know, and you didn't serve, and I wasn't sure until I watched the bio, and again, it was awesome. You guys need to check this out on A&E. It was so good. And you didn't serve, but you strike me, and you strike us, I'm sure I'm not alone, as the kind of person that would have made a great soldier, because you're disciplined. You're I can see.
Yeah. I tried it. I tried twice. I went to two different physicals, and each time I failed the eye test because I have a lazy eye. I was born with a lazy eye, and I couldn't shoot. I had to use my other eye to shoot, and I couldn't see.
Yeah,
you know, I have to kind of give myself some credit because all those years when I took my glasses off, I couldn't. Everything was blurry to me in the ring. You know, I had to focus pretty hard on my opponent because he was blurry. You know?
Wow.
So that's why I always wore dark glasses, was because I hid my eye from being so protruded.
Didn't know that either. What about when you got blood in the one good eye? I mean, because you bled quite a bit. Back then, everybody was showing red.
I was always very cautious about my eye, my good eye. And, you know, a few times I get it. You know, hit with a chair or something like that. But thank God I didn't go blind in that eye or something. Just that would have been horrible shape. But.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata on the Fan in Studio with Sergeant Slaughter. I have a couple more for you, Sarge, here before we let you go. And we do appreciate your time. WrestleMania 7, you had talked about wanting to come back and the dream of what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be at the Coliseum outside.
Yeah, L.A. Coliseum.
L.A. Coliseum, and then that didn't happen. How disappointing. I mean, to me, it was still great, and I think the buildup was great, and you lighting the Hogan shirt on fire, all that I remembered. I remember being scared of you and, like, hating you, which means you're doing your job.
Right.
Was it ultimately disappointing, or looking back, you say that was one of the great points of your career?
It was so disappointing because when Vince brought me to his house and showed me the layout, he sold me on it immediately. He showed me the prototype of it, told me all about, you know, let's break that 100, and with 104,000, we'll break the Detroit record. And he laid it all out to me. So I said, I'm in. How are we going to turn Hulk Hogan into the villain? And he goes, Hulk, no, I want you to be the villain. I'm G.I. Joe, the real American hero. What are you talking about?
He
laid out the Iraqi sympathizer, and he said, what do you think? And I said, 104,000? Put that medal on my chest? Let's go. I'm in. And so he said, well, go talk to your family about it. So I told my wife what I was going to do, and she, of course, went ballistic. She said, you're out of your mind. You're going to get killed, you know. And But I do everything full force. I go all the way. So I told Vince, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it my way and all the way. And he said, well, if you go too far over the edge, I'll pull you back. But just do it. You know how to do it. So I tried to be the baddest, you know, just being an Iraqi sympathizer turning against my country was bad enough.
Oh, God. Right. We hated you.
Yeah.
You sold it so well.
In Miami when I won the title, Gene Okerlund says to on a promo, oh, my God, Sergeant Slaughter's out behind the building burning the American flag. And I went, what?
Oh.
Cut. I ran in front of the cameras. I cut.
Yeah.
What's wrong? You said I'm burning the American flag. Yeah, well, they're just saying that I don't want to get killed, man.
Yeah.
I would never do that, you know.
It was that volatile. I mean, the heat was, we always hear the word heat, you know, it was real. Same with, you know, whether it's the Iron Sheik or Nikolai Volkov doing the Russian national anthem. I mean, that was a time where they really depicted and illuminated, you know, America's enemies. And those guys walking around the streets and the lack of security in, like, in Allentown, some of those old venues, like, it must have been really dangerous.
Yeah, well, I never really, you know, thought about it. I was so busy being in the character that I never really thought about. I always worried about General Adnan being on the outside by himself.
So I always had
one eye on my opponent, one eye on him.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I only had one good eye. So, you know, it was a tough time for me. But we got through it. And as I said, it was a very disappointing thing because I did all that. And I went through all that. And my family went through all that. My father used to get phone calls in the middle of the night. Your son's not no good, you know, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared him, you know. And I tried to apologize to everybody. And so that was a real disappointment.
You mentioned, you know, Vince obviously a few times, and, you know, he is what he is.
Yeah.
The Adonis story from earlier when he was killed in the car wreck, or other wrestlers dying due to over, you know, just bad decisions. Was Vince ever the kind of guy to, you know, say, all right, you know what? This person did so much for my company. Let me send the check to the family. Let me help people out. Did he do that stuff behind the scenes or he forget about people?
Oh, yeah, he was the most generous
man
as far as a promoter. He always, you know, he was strict right down the line. If you didn't pass your drug test, you got 6 months or 6 weeks off, no pay. Those are the kind of things that he didn't tolerate. But if you got hurt and were out for a while, he picked up your bills
and
sent you a check and, you know, happened to me.
So he did the right thing.
He gave me a check, let me come in the office, and that's how I found half the stars they had there for a while. You know, Mark Calloway and X-Pac and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yep.
All the stars that came through that, what we call the wannabe room. It's a room full of tapes and stories and
pictures and, yeah, the whole deal.
That gave me a chance to do all that.
Gotcha.
You know, I can't say anything bad about Mr. McMahon because he treated me fairly, always treated me good because I did my job.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 24/7. He worked out, and maybe once in a while he'd go to a movie, but that's all he did was wrestling, workout. That was his regimen, and he's 24/7, so I became 24/7. If he picked up the phone and told me to go somewhere or whatever, I'd make my way there. So I was just a company man. I was asked a couple times, WCW called me, Hulk Hogan called me, Jimmy Hart.
Mm, that's Bischoff, right?
Bischoff.
Yeah, sure.
Come on down. Mm-hmm. You can have whatever amount of money you want, whatever you want. No, I'm loyal. I'm loyal here to the WWE. So I just stayed. Lately, I don't see the loyalty being fed back to me.
Well, that's kind of what I was asking. So they forget about you. You get a little bit older, they don't need you as much in their mind.
That's not right.
That's horrible.
You know, I picked up the company when it was pretty down.
Yeah.
And brought in a new era of a 300-pounder doing drop kicks and doing matches that a 200-pounder was doing, you know.
You reach out to them and they just don't respond? How's that work?
Well, I get a call here and there. You know, they asked me to do an appearance.
Right.
Something like that. In fact, they invited me to be here today.
Okay.
To be to help promote WrestleMania
7. Oh, that's good.
Or, 40 for them.
Right. So I wish it was WrestleMania 7.
I'm using it to my advantage, too. So
yeah. But it seems like they reach out when they need you, and maybe when you need them, they don't always reciprocate. It's, it's a one-way street. Yeah.
But I stay in touch with Bruce Pritchard and Hunter.
Yep.
Pretty much. Everyday deal, but if I see something good, I just sent Hunter a text message saying, you know, I hadn't watched the show in a while, and I got to tell you, it's back to the storytelling that I grew up in and worked in. And he sent out back a very nice message, and he said, coming from you, Sarge, that means a lot.
That's nice.
So that meant a lot to me.
Yeah. You know?
Last one for me, Sarge. BT and Silent Fan, and then we'll get you to put the Cobra Clutch on BT.
Yeah.
Any regrets?
Yeah, can't wait.
I want $5,000 if I wiggle out of
the place. Right.
You know, it's $100,000.
Yeah, it is nowadays.
You're somebody, we've gone over this, and it's in the documentary, by the way, the biography, A&E biography, WWE Legend, Season 4, Episode 2, featuring Sergeant Slaughter. You've dedicated your entire life to your career, and then the character, the evolution of it. You love WWE, as you said, loyal to it. Any regrets on the way that it's impacted your personal life? If you could go back again, would you change anything about your career and life, the effect that it had on that?
I often wonder if I should have went to Hasbro, what would have happened? Because I was told by a pretty good source that WrestleMania 1 was supposed to be Hogan and I against Piper and Orndorff. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But because I left and went to Hasbro, they brought in Mr. T, which made it even maybe better for them.
Because then you had the whole musical connection as well.
Brought the music
Cindy
in.
Lauper.
Interesting.
Wow.
So who knows where it would be today if I had stayed, or where it would be today if, you know, if I hadn't, you know. So I'm just happy where I'm at. I can never look back and say I made the wrong decision. I just do what I think is the thing to do. And
even when you see the pain in your family, whether it's your daughters, whatever, you see that your ex-wife,
right.
Even when you see, they clearly, when they think back of it, man, my father wasn't there or went through the, right. You know, the character, which hurt them. No regrets watching it?
Well, that was hard, not being there for, you know, a lot of the birthdays and anniversaries and holidays and things like that. But the dancing recitals and all that, I missed a lot of that. But they understood. They understood.
You got to make the money. All right, here it is. Time now.
All right.
You ready, BT?
Sergeant
Slaughter in studio.
Sure.
Going to put the old Cobra clutch on BT. BT's nervous during the break.
I am a little nervous.
Yeah, before during the break, he goes, all right, Sarge, don't kill me. All right? Now, do I get anything? You sure going to be able to tap out? What happens if I got to... Whoa! Here we go. Sarge getting ready. You're in trouble, BT.
Partner, if I'm dying, help me out.
All right, I got
somebody
you.
Help me.
Take a couple more
got
days off.
Got little kids
so you
here,
some
Sarge.
Rest.
I'm not looking to do anything out of the lines here, but if I can wiggle out
you
of it, I'm going
to
wiggle
up?
Out of it.
Don't wiggle out. You let him take it.
He's four. He's strongest guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm right.
Here we
do
go.
Wait. Do I really have to tap you?
Here we go. I got it.
Come on, Sarge. Bring it up, baby. Let's go.
Oh, BT's getting right in the face. Take him down, Sarge. Take him down.
Hold on.
Is he tapping yet?
Tap out. Will you beat
them?
BT, you better tap out.
Come on, sir.
You better tap
go,
out and sell it, BT. BT, BT, tap out, will you? Tap out. Just tap out.
Tap out.
There you go. He's tapping out. All right, he's tapping out. Thank God.
I can't hear you.
I'm tapping, sir.
I can't feel you.
Whoa.
Oh, man. There he is. All right.
Thank you, Sergeant Slaughter. All right, that does it for Sergeant Slaughter. We appreciate you checking out, coming in studio here, Sarge. Stay away from me. I don't want that thing on me. I'm a Hogan fan. A&E Biography, WWE Legends, Season 4, Episode 2, featuring Sergeant Slaughter. He'll be at WrestleCon at the Sheraton downtown Philly.
Oh, get this guy.
No.
Slap it
at
on
2 a.m. to 2 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm a Hulkamaniac, Sarge. I don't know.
Get him.
There
we go.
Sneak attack.
He's down. All right.
Bring him back down.
All right. That was fun. All right. I think my next... Bro, Sarge is taking BT out back here. What's going on? Wait, can I pilot? I don't know who to hit, BT or Sarge. All right, we'll be back with your calls after this. That was great. Let me read some reads here. Our tap fair...
Welcome to the club.
Thank you very much, Sarge.
Look at that. You see that? That's awesome.
Great having you in.
Best.
This is awesome. That was awesome. Look at that, Sergeant Slaughter. Our friends.
One of those challenge coins in Philadelphia this weekend.
All right, there you go. Sarge gave us a nice Sergeant Slaughter coin here. Got the Cobra Clutch Club on it. Hall of Fame here. You can get one of these down in Philadelphia as well. Go see Sarge at the Sheraton downtown in Philly. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.